Holly Jackson's thriller Five Survive has captivated readers worldwide with its claustrophobic tension and psychological suspense. This New York Times bestselling author, known for her A Good Girl's Guide to Murder series, has crafted another edge-of-your-seat narrative that's become a TikTok sensation, with readers praising its unpredictable twists and relentless pacing. The novel follows six friends trapped in an RV during what should have been a carefree spring break, only to find themselves targeted by a mysterious sniper with deadly intentions. What makes this thriller particularly compelling is Jackson's masterful use of real-time narration, each chapter marking another hour in this night of terror, creating an immersive experience that has readers frantically turning pages until dawn breaks. Red Kenny finds herself reluctantly drawn into what should be an idyllic spring break adventure, a road trip to Gulf Shores in a borrowed 31-foot RV with her best friend Maddie Lavoie and four other classmates. The group's dynamic is complicated from the start. There's Maddie's domineering older brother Oliver, who treats the RV like his personal kingdom, his girlfriend Raina, who seems to walk on eggshells around him, Simon, the class clown hiding deeper insecurities, and Arthur, whose quiet demeanor masks keen observational skills. The tension in the RV is palpable from the first mile. Red catches glimpses of herself in the window and quickly looks away, haunted by her striking resemblance to her mother, who died under circumstances that still cast a shadow over her life. The group's interactions reveal a web of complex relationships. Simon sneaking sips from Oliver's carefully rationed tequila bottle, Raina jumping to fulfill Oliver's demands without question, and Maddie trying to maintain peace between her brother's controlling nature and her loyalty to Red. Their conversations gradually unveil layers of backstory and hidden vulnerabilities. Red's former life-threatening allergy to Brazil nuts becomes a point of discussion, though she's since outgrown it. Arthur's admission of claustrophobia adds another layer of unease to their confined quarters. The most significant revelation comes when they discuss Oliver and Maddie's mother, Catherine, a high-powered assistant district attorney currently prosecuting a high-stakes case against Philadelphia mafia boss Francesco Gatti, a detail that will prove more relevant than anyone could anticipate. Class differences and future prospects become another source of friction. When Oliver learns Red isn't attending college, his condescending comment about her wasted potential cuts deep, stirring up memories of financial struggles and missed opportunities that Red has tried to suppress. The remark highlights the socioeconomic divide within the group, with Oliver and Maddie's privileged background contrasting sharply with Red's more modest circumstances. The situation takes a turn for the worse when Arthur realizes they've veered off course. As they venture deeper into unfamiliar territory, cell service becomes increasingly spotty and the navigation system proves unreliable. The group's bickering intensifies as they traverse increasingly treacherous roads until a sharp crack signals a blown tire, stranding them on a remote country road far from help. This mechanical failure, seemingly routine at first, marks the beginning of a descent into terror. Jackson masterfully constructs this setup, carefully laying out each character's personal demons and the group's internal conflicts before introducing external threats. The RV serves as a pressure cooker environment where personalities clash and secrets simmer, with no escape from the mounting tension. The physical confinement mirrors the emotional constraints binding these six individuals together, creating a perfect storm of interpersonal drama that will only intensify as their situation grows more dire. After changing the flat tire, the group prepares to continue their journey when disaster strikes. All four tires burst simultaneously with loud cracks. As they investigate outside, Red notices a small red dot moving across the RV's surface. Before she can properly warn the others, a shot rings out, leaving a bullet hole in the vehicle's side. The horrifying reality sets in. They're being targeted by a sniper. The group scrambles inside, securing all windows and blinds. When Oliver attempts to drive away despite the blown tires, he discovers the keys are missing, eventually finding them where Raina had hidden them. But when he tries to start the engine, it only sputters. The gas tank has been shot out. They're completely stranded. Maddie tries to call 911, but there's no service. Desperate to attract help, she honks the horn repeatedly, but the sniper responds with another shot that shatters a window, narrowly missing her head. The group works together to secure the RV, using Arthur's mattress to block the broken window and Red sacrificing her mother's old suitcase to cover the driver's window. Their situation worsens when a strange voice comes through a walkie-talkie placed outside the RV. The voice chillingly reveals he knows all their full names: Oliver Charles Lavoie, Madeline Joy Lavoie, Reina Flores Serrano, Arthur Grant Moore, Simon Jensen Yu, and Redford Kenny. The message is clear. One of you knows something, a secret. You know who you are, and you know what it is. If they try to run, he will shoot. Jackson masterfully builds tension through this sequence, transforming an ordinary road trip into a life or death situation. The revelation that they were deliberately targeted, that this isn't random, adds another layer of dread. The confined space of the RV becomes both shelter and prison, with the unseen sniper controlling their every move from outside. The walkie-talkie serves as a chilling reminder that their tormentor is always watching, always listening, creating psychological warfare that's as terrifying as the physical threat. Oliver takes charge, formulating an escape plan based on his mother's win-win philosophy. He realizes their key disadvantage is not knowing the sniper's location and proposes they locate him by watching for muzzle flashes from every window in the RV. The group positions themselves at different windows, using the horn to provoke the sniper into firing while recording on their phones to catch the flash. When this fails, Red suggests using a mirror to create a reflection at the RV door to trick the shooter. The plan works. Arthur opens the door, Simon pretends to walk down the steps, and immediately a shot shatters the mirror. They capture the muzzle flash on video, determining the sniper's position and planning their escape through the driver's side window in the opposite direction. Just as Oliver begins climbing out, the walkie-talkie crackles with the sniper's voice, revealing a devastating truth. There are two of us. This shatters their escape plan completely. The group hears a helicopter overhead and frantically tries to signal it with SOS flashed through the headlights, but it passes by. Hope briefly returns when a truck with an elderly couple pulls up alongside the RV. The sniper's voice delivers a chilling command: "Get rid of them or I will kill them." Despite Oliver wanting to seek help, Arthur opens the door to send the couple away. Oliver secretly drafts a note: "Help, call the police, there's an active shooter, we are trapped." He slips it to the elderly man during a handshake. As the couple begins to leave, the sniper fires twice, killing both with shots to the head. The sequence illustrates how Jackson expertly manipulates hope and despair throughout the narrative. Each plan seems promising until it collapses. Each potential rescue turns deadly. The deaths of the innocent elderly couple raise the stakes dramatically. The sniper isn't bluffing and won't hesitate to kill. This creates a suffocating atmosphere of helplessness as every attempt to escape or seek help is thwarted, leaving the characters increasingly desperate and turning on each other as their options dwindle. After the elderly couple's murder, the sniper makes a shocking revelation. "One of you has a secret. Give it to me and I'll let the others live." Oliver concludes the RV must be bugged, as the sniper somehow knew about the note. The group searches for listening devices while maintaining normal conversation to avoid suspicion. During this search, secrets begin to unravel. Simon reveals his uncle runs an illegal car dealership selling stolen vehicles. They might be driving a stolen RV across state lines. Simon admits he kept this secret because he needed money in case his parents refused to support his drama school ambitions. He adds that it was Maddie's idea to keep costs low so Red could afford to come, a comment that deeply wounds Red, who feels humiliated learning she was their charity case. The group discovers the walkie-talkie might be bugged, so Red examines it, finding no listening device inside. She concludes the sniper can only hear them when they press the talk button. Oliver, increasingly paranoid, makes a shocking accusation. If there's no bug, one of them must be working with the sniper. Oliver and Reina then reveal their own secret. In January, they were at a bar when Oliver supposedly defended Raina from a man harassing her. Oliver punched the man, who later died from an epidural hematoma. But Raina reveals a devastating truth. The victim wasn't a stranger, but her boyfriend of 4 months. She'd been planning to break up with Oliver for him. When Raina decides to confess this to the sniper, believing Jack's brothers want revenge, the voice delivers another shocking response. "It's not the one I'm looking for. The secret isn't about Jack Harvey at all, but about someone who was killed in Philadelphia." This section demonstrates Jackson's skill at weaving together multiple layers of deception. As the external threat forces characters to reveal their hidden truths, the group dynamics shift dramatically. Trust erodes as each revelation raises new questions about loyalties and motives. The confined space of the RV becomes even more claustrophobic as suspicion spreads among the group. Jackson expertly uses these revelations not just as plot points, but as character development, showing how each person responds to crisis and exposure, some becoming more desperate, others more calculating. As the sniper fires warning shots into the RV, Oliver interrogates Arthur, choking him while demanding answers about someone who was killed in Philadelphia. To save Arthur, Red makes a shocking confession. "I'm the witness, the protected witness in the Frank Gotti case." She explains that last August, she was walking through Washington Avenue Green Park when she heard two gunshots. Hiding in bushes, she saw Frank Gotti walking away from the scene. Days later, she learned Joseph Menino had been killed there. Red became the anonymous witness who could place Gotti at the murder scene. Maddie realizes her mother, as lead prosecutor, had fought to keep the case in local court to protect Red's identity. Oliver demands to know why Red didn't reveal this crucial information earlier. She explains that complete anonymity was part of her agreement to testify. Not even her father knows. Oliver concludes the sniper's true target has been Red all along. He's there to eliminate the witness before she can testify against Frank Gotti. His demeanor shifts violently as he declares Red must leave the RV, arguing she's putting everyone else at risk. Despite protests from Simon and Arthur, Oliver insists they vote on whether Red stays or goes, a blind ballot to decide her fate. The vote narrowly allows Red to stay, but Oliver ignores the result, grabbing her and forcing her out the RV door. Red tumbles onto the road, the sniper's red dot dancing on her chest. Strangely, no shot comes. Arthur rushes out, dragging her back inside. Oliver, sporting injuries from the ensuing fight, questions why the sniper didn't shoot Red if she's supposedly the witness. He accuses her of being a mole working with their attackers. Since Red appears immune to being shot, Oliver develops a new plan. Maddie, similar in height and hair color, should wear Red's clothes and escape to get help. Despite protests about the danger, Maddie agrees to the plan. After changing into Red's clothes and having her hair cut to complete the disguise, Maddie walks out of the RV. Just as she reaches for the truck door, a gunshot cracks through the air and she collapses to the ground. This sequence represents the narrative's major turning point. Red's confession should explain everything, but the sniper's refusal to shoot her creates a new mystery. Jackson cleverly subverts expectations. The revelation that should provide clarity only deepens the mystery. The moral dilemma of the vote highlights how quickly civilization breaks down under pressure, while Oliver's willingness to sacrifice Red despite the vote's outcome reveals his true character. The shooting of Maddie creates both immediate danger and raises questions about the sniper's true motives. If not Red, then who is the real target? With Maddie severely injured and potentially bleeding out from a femoral artery wound, Red desperately searches for help on the walkie-talkie. She discovers workers discussing a damaged cell tower on Channel 6 and immediately calls for help, but Arthur suddenly smacks the device from her hand. Red finally confesses the complete truth. Desperate for money to help her father, she accepted Catherine Lavoie's offer to falsely testify that she witnessed Frank Gotti killing Joseph Menino in exchange for $20,000. Catherine had convinced her that Gotti's organization was responsible for her mother's unsolved execution-style murder 5 years earlier. Arthur reveals a shocking connection. His family has had a secret contact in the DA's office who recently exposed Red's identity through an email that appeared to come from Mo Fraser, Catherine's rival. This suggests Catherine might be both the person who recruited Red as a false witness and the one who betrayed her identity to the Gotti family. As Oliver argues these two actions contradict each other, Red remembers Catherine's philosophy. A plan must have two parts. You have to make sure either way plays out in your favor. The truth explodes in the RV as Red confirms Catherine Lavoy is behind everything. Either Red testifies and Frank Gotti is convicted, making Catherine DA, or Red is killed and the leak is traced to Mo Fraser, removing Catherine's competition. As Oliver argues these two actions contradict each other, Red remembers Catherine's philosophy. A plan must have two parts. You have to make sure either way plays out in your favor. The truth explodes in the RV as Red confirms Catherine Lavoy is behind everything. Either Red testifies and Frank Gotti is convicted, making Catherine DA, or Red is killed and the leak is traced to Mo Fraser, removing Catherine's competition. Red suddenly makes a horrifying connection when Oliver mentions Catherine's personalized ringtones. The doorbell sound Red heard during her mother's final phone call wasn't a doorbell at all. It was Catherine Lavoy's ringtone for Maddie. This revelation suggests Catherine was present when Red's mother was murdered, potentially because Red's mother had discovered Catherine was the leak in the DA's office, feeding information to the crime family. Maddie confesses she's known all along, explaining how her mother's suspicious behavior and deleted call logs left her certain deep down. Red collapses under the weight of this revelation, screaming in agony, until Arthur catches her, holding her steady while assuring her repeatedly, "It's not your fault." In this moment, Red finally releases years of guilt and shame over her last words to her mother. This section represents the novel's emotional and thematic climax. The conspiracy reveals how power corrupts absolutely, with Catherine willing to sacrifice innocent lives for her ambition. The revelation about Red's mother's murder provides emotional catharsis for Red's character arc. She finally understands her mother's death wasn't her fault and can begin to forgive herself for their final argument. Jackson skillfully weaves together the personal and political threads, showing how large-scale corruption has devastating personal consequences. With Maddie bleeding out and needing immediate medical attention, Red works methodically on fixing the broken walkie-talkie. They notice police lights approaching, a female officer in a squad car. Realizing the sniper might shoot the officer, Red knocks the knife from Oliver's hand and rushes outside to shield the officer with her body. Outside, the officer draws her gun as Arthur and Oliver emerge from the RV. Oliver attacks Arthur with the knife, slashing his neck before being shot. The officer, seeing Red's walkie-talkie and mistaking it for a weapon, shoots Red twice in the chest. As Red lies dying on the road, the broken walkie-talkie mysteriously comes to life, and she hears her mother's voice from years ago during their childhood Cops and Cops game. In her final moments, Red finds peace, realizing that beyond the guilt and regret she's carried, what remains is love. The aftermath is documented through a police radio transcript and news article. Catherine Lavoy was shot dead outside Chesterfield General Hospital by a sniper. Multiple casualties are reported, including her son Oliver. The novel concludes with a heartfelt letter from Arthur to Red, apologizing for his role in events, explaining that he shot Catherine Lavoy believing Red was dying, and revealing that he's now a fugitive. He leaves money to cover Red's medical bills and promises to meet her at Pier 68 if she wishes to see him again. The conclusion brings both justice and tragedy. Catherine faces consequences for her actions, but at tremendous cost. The ambiguous ending regarding Red's fate, Arthur's letter suggests she survived, but we witnessed her being shot, leaves readers with questions about who truly survived the night. Jackson doesn't provide neat resolutions, but instead offers a complex meditation on justice, revenge, and the price of truth. The cyclical violence, Catherine's corruption leading to her own death by sniper, suggests that vengeance perpetuates rather than ends suffering. Throughout the night of terror, each character reveals their true nature under pressure. Oliver, initially presenting himself as a natural leader, becomes increasingly authoritarian and ultimately willing to sacrifice others to save himself. His privileged upbringing has taught him to view others as expendable in service to his goals, a trait he inherited from his mother. Maddie, caught between loyalty to her family and her friendship with Red, ultimately chooses courage and sacrifice, willingly risking her life to save the group. Her journey from sheltered privilege to heroic self-sacrifice represents one of the novel's most powerful character arcs. Arthur emerges as the quiet hero, consistently putting others before himself despite his own fears and vulnerabilities. His claustrophobia, stemming from childhood trauma when his brother locked him in a closet, serves as a metaphor for his emotional journey from confinement to freedom through his actions to protect Red. Red's journey centers on guilt and redemption. Having carried the burden of her last words to her mother, "I hate you," for years, she finds liberation in understanding the truth about her mother's death. Her willingness to sacrifice herself for others represents her attempt to atone for a perceived sin that was never truly hers. Jackson's psychological insight shines in how she portrays the breakdown of social norms under extreme stress. The voting scene, where the group decides Red's fate through a democratic process that could result in her death, brilliantly illustrates how quickly civilized behavior can erode when survival is at stake. The RV becomes a microcosm of society, showing how quickly we can turn on each other when resources, in this case, safety, become scarce. Holly Jackson demonstrates exceptional skill in maintaining unbearable tension throughout the novel. The real-time structure, each chapter marking another hour in this night of terror, creates a ticking clock scenario that drives the narrative forward with relentless momentum. This technique immerses readers in the character's experience, making us feel the same pressure of limited time and options. The hour-by-hour progression mirrors classic suspense films like High Noon, where time itself becomes an antagonist working against our protagonists. The confined setting of the RV creates both physical and psychological claustrophobia. Characters cannot escape each other or their own secrets, forcing confrontations and revelations. The contrast between the safety they seek inside the vehicle and the danger waiting outside creates a no-win scenario that amplifies the tension. Jackson masterfully uses this limited space to heighten interpersonal dynamics. Every shift in position, every whispered conversation, and every attempt to peek through the windows carries weight and consequence. The RV becomes both sanctuary and prison, with the characters' mounting frustration and fear reflected in their increasingly desperate attempts to find solutions within their confined space. Jackson's use of the unseen threat, the sniper whose presence is felt but rarely glimpsed, taps into primal fears. The red dot of the rifle sight becomes a recurring motif of death's proximity, while the walkie-talkie serves as the sniper's disembodied voice, allowing him to psychologically torture his victims from distance. This invisible antagonist recalls classic horror techniques where what's unseen is often more terrifying than what's visible. The sniper's occasional communications through the walkie-talkie create moments of psychological warfare that ratchet up the tension while revealing crucial plot elements. The novel's structure of cascading revelations ensures the reader never settles into complacency. Each answer raises new questions. Each solution creates new problems. This technique keeps readers engaged throughout, constantly reassessing their understanding of the situation and the character's motives. Jackson carefully times these revelations to maintain maximum impact. Just when readers think they understand the situation, another layer peels away to expose deeper conspiracies and more personal betrayals. Five Survive stands as a testament to Jackson's storytelling prowess, combining psychological insight with pulse-pounding suspense. The novel explores how crisis reveals character, how the past shapes our present actions, and ultimately, how far we'll go to protect those we love or ourselves. Through Red's journey from guilt to understanding, Jackson offers a powerful meditation on forgiveness, both of others and ourselves, suggesting that even in our darkest moments, connection and compassion can offer redemption. The author's ability to weave together personal drama with life-or-death stakes creates a narrative that works both as a thriller and as a deep exploration of human nature under extreme pressure. The pacing demonstrates Jackson's technical mastery, with moments of intense action balanced against quieter scenes of character development and revelation. This rhythmic approach to storytelling allows readers to process the emotional weight of each revelation while maintaining the overall momentum of the plot. The result is a story that satisfies both as an edge-of-your-seat thriller and as a thoughtful exploration of loyalty, truth, and the price of secrets.